Hello, I'm Dr. Scott Wattier.
And I'm Tommy Welling, and you're listening to the Fasting for Life podcast.
This podcast is about using fasting as a tool to regain your health, achieve ultimate wellness, and live the life you truly deserve.
Each episode is a short conversation on a single topic with immediate actionable steps. We cover everything from fat loss and health and wellness to the science of lifestyle design.
We started Fasting for Life because of how fasting has transformed our lives, and we hope to share the tools that we have learned along the way. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Fasting for Life podcast. My name is Dr. Scott Wattier, and I'm here, as always, with my good friend and colleague, Tommy Welling. Before we hop into today's episode, I wanted to drop an announcement that the next 10-day Fasting Ramp Up Challenge link is live. You can go to the show notes for more dates and more information. The challenge is starting here in just 2 days, so we don't want you to miss out. And today's episode is really going to be a good peek into some of the things and some of the frameworks that we break down and or build up during the 10-day fasting challenge. So today's episode is questioning, kind of like a lightning round where Tommy and I go back and forth and ask each other questions that we did not predetermine ahead of time. You know, these are things that him and I talk about when the families get together and when we're Voxering and sending messages at all hours of the day as we continue to build and pour into, you know, this fasting and insulin friendly lifestyle. So we want to talk a little bit about, you know, kind of why we feel this is a good time for this type of conversation and how it can give you some insight into why we've really been putting our time and effort into these challenges, which, beginning with the end in mind, is getting people results that they've never been able to get before.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's exactly what you and I were both looking for whenever we started our own fasting journey. And, you know, these are the kinds of questions that we get and that people seem to want to understand while they're going through the challenge as they start, as their minds start to get focused on end goals, because they start seeing the power in the methods and in what we do. And as we teach through and actually go through fast cycles live in real time every day of the challenge. But you know, as we kind of go through the process, questions come up that a lot of people have never, you know, dealt with or never had before. And they start thinking finally, sometimes for the first time, about the long-term goals. And so some of the questions from today, I feel like are kind of looking back at the last few years worth of our own journey and kind of how to go from wherever you are today to that end point.
Yeah. And so we won't spoil the episode because sometimes our reaction to the questions that we're asking is where the enjoyment comes. You know, there's some laughter. There's some like, oh man, I have to pick one meal that I'm going to break a fast with for the rest of my life. It's the, I only get one game. But, you know, just speaking to the experience itself, you know, just from, you know, the continuity that we've had with the group since the last challenge, the couple of like highlights is someone had posted a few days ago, finally, my weight has broken the 160 mark. I'm going to keep pushing. I've got my schedule set up for the week. I've got one longer fast scheduled, you know, between Sunday and Tuesday. And then next week I'm going on vacation. So thank you guys for giving me the framework to know that all of this progress that I've had over the last 4 months has not been all for naught, and that I actually have a plan and a system and the tools to be able to succeed. So I just really loved that, you know, we hear these messages throughout. And like you mentioned, it's the same stuff that you and I were looking for and experiencing. It was just you and I listening, though. It was just the conversations, you know, that you and I were having, or the one-offs, you know, with our wives, or, you know, when we had friends or family in town. But it's those types of things that really continue to have us put in the extra hours and reply to the emails and continue to refine the challenge, because, you know, the amazing results on the back end is exactly what we want everybody to get.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And it's so amazing to see some of the responses and the comments and questions right at the beginning of the challenge, versus by the time we're 10 days in. And then going beyond that, for several months later, and the personal growth and development that we see with a lot of our challengers is, it still just blows me away.
Yeah, we had somebody come out of the woodwork from way back in the day when we first started doing them, and they've just recently joined the continuity, and they're back on the challenge mm-hmm. train, not because they need to lose weight, but because they want the encouragement and the accountability of being around like-minded people. Yeah. And she said something really profound. She's like, I'm determined to stay in that 5% of people that don't regain the weight and get fall off track. She's like, I've been doing it on my own. It's been fine. I've had amazing success, and she's been intentional, and she's doing great. And she reached her maintenance goal, but she's like, it's kind of more fun to be doing something with people. Right. And if you would have told me, when we first turned on the mics a year ago, we are so grateful for each and every one of you guys that listens in each week and send us messages and encouragement, that we would be, having hundreds of thousands of downloads, and we'd be hearing from people all across the world. And we've been having people coming back to want to be a part of the group. I never would have thought that was possible. So, we like to use the analogy, the power's in the Peloton, not the expensive exercise bike that's in households across the country, but the actual group. When we move together in a direction, we're able to keep that momentum, to spread and distill the workout amongst the group. We get the encouragement and the accountability. So really excited about the next one coming up. I hope you guys enjoy to today's episode. And if you have any questions, you can go to the show notes. You can find more dates and information. You can go to the website, www.thefastingforlife.com/live. Now to today's episode. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Fasting for Life podcast. My name is Dr. Scott Wattier, and I'm here, as always, with my good friend and colleague, Tommy Welling. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Hey, Scott. How are you?
Good, man. Good, good, good. Excited about today's episode. We're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to call it the lightning round, where we're going to go back and forth asking each other some questions, opening up a discussion around some of the most common things and conversations that we have in our day-to-day life around the practical side of fasting. There's also the personal, the social, and the science of it. So we'll probably dabble in a little bit of that as we go through the episode. So we have a stack of questions here, and it's going to be kind of a little quiz time, and I think it's going to lead to some good combos.
Okay. Cool. I like it. Are we ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. So I'm gonna ask you first, since I have the list in front of me. So good luck. Good luck to you, sir.
Thank you.
May the odds forever be in your favor.
Thank you.
So first question is really, how do you decide when to do a longer fast? So something more than, let's say, a two to three day fast. How do you decide when to do that?
Well, I've done a few longer fasts, from 5 to 7 days. And I'd say probably when I was ready to pull the trigger on those was when I reached some sort of frustration point. I think, it's almost like it was like a spring that needed to be, kind of compressed. And then I felt like I had the energy and the wherewithal and just kind of the gumption. There was like a frustration with wanting to hit a certain goal or kind of break through a set point that I felt like I had some number that I couldn't seem to get past on the scale. I'd say it had to do with that.
Yeah. The frustration point was the first thing that hopped into my head.
Mm-hmm.
Figure I'll ask you the question, you can answer, I'll follow it up, and then we can kind of go back and forth here.
Okay.
So the frustration is definitely a key thing. A couple other things that I thought about was when I noticed that something, one of my old cues or my old triggers from before I started to, lose the weight, get my life back, be healthy, my wife said I was happier, all that kind of stuff. Right. It's like, okay, am I anxious more? How is my sleep? How is my energy? Am I noticing that I'm not being as consistent with my fasting window? Am I allowing some slippage in there?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah, you know what? Yeah. I have been feeling a little fluffy, or I noticed that my sleep's been a little bit off, and I'm like, okay, it's time to kind of push the window a little bit. It's time to rip the bandaid off. So, for the set point or the scale being stuck, or it's moving in the wrong direction over a 2 or 3 week period, you're like, all right, it's time to hone back in and, kind of trim the fat, so to speak. But those are just a couple additional things for me that I know, you know, when it's like, all right, it's time to push the window here.
Yeah, there was a couple of times where I noticed it was getting tough to hit just my 23, 24 hour timer, where, like you said, those slippage points were starting to come in. And it was like, wait a minute. I'm not hitting my OMAD target. So I really need to do something different. There must have been some sort of, you know, some habits that kind of crept back in, or some just like lack of, you know, like mental fortitude that I was feeling in the day to day, that I felt like it was time for a reset. So let me hit the timer. Let me, you know, get the win that I know I can do this longer fast, and then just keep the momentum going from there. And so I felt like those were always productive, and it always helped whenever I did that.
Yeah, for me, it's stress. So like when I'm not planned, or my schedule changes on the fly, or a new project is dropped in my lap, or, you know, something goes haywire, or technology mm-hmm. fails, or, you know, one of the kids, you know, they're on spring break, or something changes, right, where I wasn't expecting it or didn't see it coming. Right. You know, the stress piece of it is huge. So we talk a lot about stress and sleep in regards to fasting because of the effect that it has on insulin, which is the whole point of fasting, to reduce the amount of time that your insulin levels are elevated so you can mm-hmm. burn more fat, lose weight, and reap all the other benefits that come along with fasting as well. So I like that framework. The frustration point is really a good starting point, though, because that's where my brain went to. So we're in agreement there.
Yeah. One last point on that. I feel like that kind of got back to my roots of where this came from, too. Like the reason I did my first fast was reaching that ultimate frustration point.
Right.
That's what led me, you know, to kind of open up that door. And then so kind of reigniting that, you know, I do that now through a longer fast from time to time.
Yep. Yep. I love it. Couldn't agree more. All right. Your turn.
I like this question. What is your favorite thing to drink during a fast? You know, that's not you don't consider to break your fast. What's your favorite thing to drink?
Well, first of all, if you're listening to this and you've listened to some of the other titans of fasting that have been around, on the podcast circuit or on the YouTube circuit, when it comes to fasting, then we're going to have points of disagreement here in terms of what we feel is okay for the long-term goal. So, you know, Dr. Fung mentions, you know, anything under 50 calories. Well, he also says, don't take the creamer out of your coffee if the creamer is the one thing that you're going to look forward to that day when you start fasting.
Right.
So for me, I keep it pretty strict. I don't think I'm in the clean fast category of some of the other fasting gurus out there, right? Some of the other fasting podcasts where it's water and coffee, and that's it, right? Black coffee. So for me, though, when I had my CGM, I had done a test with coffee, and I actually had a dip in my glucose readings post ingestion of plain black organic coffee. And that showed me that my HPA axis was being stressed a little bit, and I was actually having an insulin response. So I had to cut it out. So there's a lot of gray area in this question. So I know you didn't ask that, but I wanted to frame it on the front end that there's going to be some disagreement. You really need to find out what works for you. So for me, I can hold it up. It's an audio medium, but you can see it is one of our favorite go-tos. I'll answer for mm-hmm. you as well, is Waterloo. Yep, same flavor, man. Cheers. Cheers across the interwebs. It's a black cherry Waterloo.
So good.
So good. And then I also like using the LMNT electrolyte packets when I'm doing fast cycling and I'm doing back-to-back-to-back fasts, you know, longer than, let's say, 18 to 22 hours. I like to use the LMNTs anywhere between 1 to 3 in the afternoon because that is the time where I feel the most hunger and cravings, and I need that little extra pick-me-up. So those are my two favorite. I couldn't give you one. I had to give you two.
All right. Yeah. I mean, for me, you know, like you said, cheers here. The black cherry, or any number of the flavors of Waterloo. I really like those as kind of a go-to, something to kind of get out of the chair, do something a little different, have a little bit of a ritual. I'm not going to eat lunch during the middle of the day, but I am going to go, you know, downstairs or, you know, go to the fridge and get a, you know, unsweetened sparkling water. Yeah. And I think that's, it's a nice way to kind of break it up and break up from just regular water and black coffee.
Yep. I love it. All right. So my turn. I've got a few here. Which one do I want to lob into your lap? I think I like this one, which is if you had to break your fast from here on out, the fasting friendly lifestyle, the insulin friendly lifestyle, right? Mm-hmm. You know, finding a way to work this into your day-to-day life to regain control long-term here.
Right.
If you could break your fast with one meal, so no variability from here on out, you get one meal to break your fast with, what would it be? I can't wait to see where this conversation goes.
Oh, man, that's a tough one though. And the length of fast doesn't matter. I just have to choose one meal no matter how short.
So you can't pick the deep dish pizza.
No.
From the place around the corner, because if you're doing an 18 or a 12 hour fast and you're going to break it with pizza every time, that's going to be really darn hard. So that's what I love about this question.
And if it was a longer fast and you broke it with that pizza, you were going to feel terrible. You're going
to, and if you guys are new to this podcast and new to Tommy and I, like, pizza is my thing. Like, pizza is like my crux. So we plan for it in our family. So I know that it's coming so that I don't have to think about it the rest of the time.
Yeah, every once in a while. Yeah. Have that pizza night. Right. But I definitely don't want to break a longer fast with it. And, if I did that during the shorter fast, it would add up for sure. If I only had to pick one meal, it's going to have a lot of veggies in it. Because that just, no, if I had to break it, because I worry about those longer fasts, if I break it without like front loading that with some good veggies, I'm going to really feel terrible. And even if it's like overly protein packed, it's going to feel so heavy. Especially, you know, anything longer than like a 48 hour fast, I'm going to feel miserable. So it's probably going to be like my favorite, just super loaded salad, or like a loaded, you can get them at certain Mexican restaurants or at like a build your own salad place where I can put all my favorite proteins and nuts and veggies in it. And with some good dressing though, too, even just with a side of like oil and vinegar, like really, really good though.
Hey, fasting fam, want to let you know about an incredible company that we've partnered with, aquatrue.com. Promo code fasting for life to receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. These are not your old school pitcher filters or your refrigerator filters. We're talking about a proprietary 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process. Their countertop purifiers work with no installation or plumbing, which if you've priced those whole home water filtration systems, you know exactly what I'm talking about. These incredible countertop versions, they do have one under sink mounting model as well, but they remove 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters, like I mentioned, and they're specifically designed to combat this new group of chemicals that the Environmental Working Group has done a deep dive on, these forever chemicals called PFAS or PFASs. These are in 45% of our U.S. tap water. 45%. These things can lead to endocrine system disruption, certain types of cancers, liver toxicity. And I'm so glad that there's now a countertop affordable version of this incredible technology. So as we fast, we know that water, outside of a little black coffee and tea, is the only thing that we drink. So if we're trying to get the biggest bang for our buck, we're trying to increase autophagy, allow our bodies to heal, shed the weight, get healthy, reverse disease, then why not give it the absolute best quality water that you can? So AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. It even makes a great gift, like I mentioned, my aunt and uncle. Today, as one of our loyal listeners, if you support them, you're supporting us. You're going to get 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. Just go to aquatrue.com. That's AQUATRU.com and enter code fasting for life. FASTINGFORLIFE. That's 20% off any of the AquaTrue water purifiers at aquatrue.com.
So you're telling me you're going to eat a salad to break your fast from here on out for the remaining 50 years. I don't know, however many years left, right? That's what you're going to do. Or you're just going to quit fasting. Cause that's what I would do if I chose salad. You're like, this is why I love this. Cause we're going to differ here, but are you really telling me that? Is everyone else here, that's the thousands of people going to hear this, going to believe that story?
So I am assuming I can eat other things too, but it's just when I'm breaking. Well, every time you eat, you're breaking a fast. So this is literally the last meal that I can ever have. Then
that's the construct. Okay. You have the opportunity to break your fast with one meal. We're going to the extremes.
Oh my goodness! I feel like there wasn't enough time to prep for this.
What is your favorite meal then to break a fast?
Well, a longer fast is just like what I just described right there.
Okay.
I want to play
the other game. You only get one meal every time you break a fast.
Yeah. Okay. So what's your answer then?
So I'm going 8 ounces of red meat. I don't care in what form. Doesn't matter. Don't care. Have a little garlic butter on top. Sear that baby. Ground beef. Doesn't matter. Red meat of some sort. I know that's not an exact answer. And then I want couple hundred grams of either green beans or broccoli. So I can pick either. Doesn't matter. Doesn't have to be cooked in bacon or anything fancy, like, you know, a green bean casserole. I literally just want broccoli or green beans. So I can pick one of those with Kerrygold butter, right? A couple slabs of butter on there. And then I want just a little bit of some form of either brown jasmine rice or those little creamer potatoes that have the skins on them.
Oh yeah. New potato.
Yeah. Just like probably a cup of that. That's my meal. I can fit into any window. I can break any fast with. I've done it. I love it. And I literally ate that for like, I don't know. That's pretty much the makeup of all of our meals in our house.
Right.
Substitute the chicken or the salmon or something else in between. Yeah. But that's what it would be if that was the one meal that I had to eat. Now, my favorite meal to break a fast, I think I'm going to have to think about that for a second. So please filibuster.
Yeah. I was giving a little bit of thought. First of all, my stomach just grumbled like, you know, so loud.
It's phallic phase, baby.
Right. And But I really do enjoy breaking a fast. Like if we're gonna go to a restaurant, sometimes we'll do like a lunch date or something like that. Especially coming off of maybe a 36-hour fast or a 30 or a 42-hour fast, and I really like breaking that with sushi or something from a Japanese restaurant where I know I'm gonna get a nice mix of protein, carbs from the rice. I got a good source of veggies. It can fill me up and I enjoy the process. I enjoy eating it without feeling terrible or without feeling like I ever overdid it really, you know?
Right.
So I think that food group just has a certain balance to it that I really enjoy. So I'm going to change my previous answer and say that if I had to, just pick one meal, it'd basically be my favorite kind of sushi based meal for sure.
You'd want to eat that forever.
Sure. Yeah. I would do that. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. Cool. Yep. All right. Okay. What do we got next, Tommy? What question?
Your longest fast.
Yep.
Is how long?
A couple hours over 7 days.
Okay. 7 day fast. 7 day plus.
Those hours count.
You're right.
Cause I contemplated my life at the moment. I really wanted to continue, but we had a date night.
Right. You really wanted to continue, right? Like that's such an important point. I've never broken any fast longer than like 2 or 3 days and not felt like I really just want to continue this fast. Like I almost regret it before I even break it. Like I don't want to be breaking this fast. Like, so
did I hear a question in here or what?
Not yet.
Okay. Just making sure.
The question is, why have you never done a 10-day fast or a 30-day fast? Like we hear that kind of stuff. People are doing it. Why have you never done it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I wish I would have seen that coming. And I think it might be related to the first question where we talk about, when you decide to do a longer fast.
Mm.
So that frustration point that comes in. So I haven't gotten to a point where I feel like I need to do anything longer. So in my analytical state of my brain, which I typically operate in most days, taking the emotion out of it, I don't think I feel the need to do anything longer. So if I had been fasting for 2 years, let's say, and I lost the weight and I'm feeling good, but then I came back and my insulin resistance, my insulin, fasting insulin levels were still like 20. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, oh, crap. Yeah. Well, all of my 48, 30, 36 is 24 is 18. So yeah, it got me the result on the outside that I was looking for. But physiologically, I'm still showing insulin resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the complications of what that is in my family history and all of that stuff, you know, diabetes and heart disease and heart attacks and yada, yada. I think I would then push the window and I would really be like, all right, here we go. I'm ripping the Band-Aid off. I'm going however long it takes.
Yeah.
Right. And I would have that motivation to do it. But for me, adding in that 7 days on the journey to lose 50 pounds in 50 days and maintaining 40 plus pounds of that loss since, I haven't really felt the need to do it. So I know there's some people out there that do it for spiritual reasons.
Sure.
That do it, you know, depending on the religion and the time of year, you know, like Daniel diet and those types of things. So yeah, I think the answer is I haven't ever really felt the need that I had to. Just like when I started fasting, I hadn't been getting results with anything else. So I literally was like, all right, I'm just going to stop. You told me to stop eating for 24 hours. And then we did a lot of, you know, fluctuations between, you know, 24 to 72.
Mm-hmm.
And the results were there. So I think the reason I haven't done it is I haven't felt the need to do it based on results or necessity.
Good answer. Yeah. I think that's a tough one too, I can tell that you put some thought into why you hadn't done it. And had you ever thought about that before?
No, I honestly hadn't. Mm-hmm. I hadn't. And we got a question recently from one of our continuity members post our most recent challenge who actually asked, hey, are we going to be doing any longer fasts? And I didn't even really, I was like, no. And I just kind of carried on and moved away from it, not even thinking about it. So do you have any other added perspective there?
You know, like for me, just like you mentioned before, like you broke that 7 day in a couple hours. You broke it for a date night. So my multiple 7 day fasts have always ended at a date night. So like that's just a really, really important non-negotiable for me that I don't want to be sitting there connecting with my wife without eating or drinking anything, you know, with her. Like I could, and she's invited me to do it. Like, hey, don't let me be the reason.
Yeah. Cause she, unlike my wife, she's had great fasting success. Right.
Yeah. Right. Right. She's definitely a walking, you know, walking, talking, you know, testimony for the success. And, you know, so she's been very supportive of it. And, but I just never liked the idea that I would continue the fast through that date night. So I think that's the reason why I've never gone to like a 10 day. Like I do like the idea that I can go 10 days without consuming anything. And I think at some point I will do that 10 day fast. I don't really feel a drive to do anything beyond that point. But I love the way I felt on all the 5 and 7 day fasts that I've done.
Yeah, there were some points along the way that weren't fun. So for you guys that are new to the podcast, this is probably not an applicable conversation. If you're new to fasting and you're at 18 hours going, what in the heck? don't worry. This is not how Tommy and I get the results or a lot of people get results. It's in the consistent, slow build up using the different fasting windows and the fast cycling that we talk about, you know, stacking a 30 hour on top of an 18 hour with some 24 hours mixed in. What does maintenance look like? You know, all those different conversations. So for us, I like that conversation of, yeah, why haven't I gone longer? And then, you know, that ties into, you know, what you said with the non-negotiable of when to decide to do a longer fast. You know, having my family come in for 2 weeks and my wife and I going away for an anniversary for a couple of nights, you know, just north of where we live, you know, that's probably not the time to be like, oh, yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to do a 10-day fast, right? Like, that makes no sense. So there's social and personal and practical sides to this as well. So One last question here, Tommy. Do I want to go with that one? I came up with a couple more as we were kind of talking through and conversating here. If you had to pick only one fasting window, like one time, one window, right? So one of the fast cycle windows that we just talked about, what would that be for you and why?
Oh man, that's a cool question.
Not just once. This is the tool that you have in your toolbox. This is it. This is the window you get to do.
This is it. Yeah, this is the only timer that I can ever set. Every time I set a fasting timer. Okay. I am going to go with 36 hours.
Ah, come on.
Is that your answer?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you should have answered it before you asked it, I guess.
Dang it.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll have different wives. Full transparency. We didn't know each other's answers going into this. So I'm going 36 hours because a few different reasons. It's very difficult to overconsume, you know, 36 hours worth of calories, like in any given sitting or any given eating window. Like I know I'm going to consistently maintain a significant caloric deficit. So if I'm in fat burning mode, it's kind of a no-brainer. But I don't have to go multiple days without kind of putting things on hold, without any, you know, social interactions, or without eating dinner with the family or anything else like that. Like, you know, you kind of miss one dinner, and then by the next day, you know, you're eating something. You have an eating window right there, right?
So you have, you have food on both days. It's flexible, can do breakfast, dinner, lunch, can all be kind of included in that, right? So I like it. I like that it gives the flexibility. I'm going to go with the fact that it's one of the most effective time windows that's been shown to help reverse insulin resistance and promote insulin sensitivity. So I'm going to go with the more go figure the analytical side of it, that I want the benefits, right? I want the benefit, the most bang for my buck. So why do I do OMAD? Not one of the questions, but thank you for asking, Tommy, is because it fits into like my day-to-day life and how I feel. Like I like the idea of, you know, a lot of the times having dinner with the family at night, Monday through Thursday, it's a sprint, but it gives me flexibility. It allows me to maintain the weight loss, feel good, et cetera. But if I'm going to go most bang for the buck in terms of weight loss and long-term goal or gain, I think I would go, you know, with the research underlying there, saying that, yeah, this is where you're going to get the most bang for your buck physiologically without having to do, you know, those longer, you know, 48 to 72 or 5 days, 7 day, or even longer fast where, you know, for me, it's that consistent sustainability over time, which, you know, has been shown to be the most effective.
Yeah. That consistency is king, because finding something you can actually do on a repeatable basis is going to be much more important than, let's say, you know, going the next 30 days, you know, doing a 30 day fast or something more extreme like that. And, you know, the other thing I really love about the 36 hour mark that I think gets to that fat burning and insulin sensitivity resensitizing is I feel great, especially getting towards the end of that. And if I'm checking my ketones are always significantly up at that point. So like, I know I've reached a significant stage of fat burning every time I do a 36 hour fast. And so I'm excited to break the fast. I'm excited for the window. And it's something that for me is very sustainable and repeatable. So I really like it.
Cool. I love it. So I'm sitting here thinking as we're having these conversations, if you guys are new to the podcast and you want to know more about insulin resistance, insulin sensitivity, fasting windows, which ones we like better and reasons as to why, and, you know, comparing OMAD to ADF to IF, et cetera, scroll through the previous episodes. Feel free to shoot us a message at info@thefastingforlife.com. If you guys have been with us for a while, you've been on this journey, we appreciate you listening. And hopefully you enjoyed a little bit different of a framework of an episode that Tommy and I typically do. But I still think it led to some pretty good conversation and some action steps here. So any last thoughts before we wrap up today?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, if you listen to this and some of this just sounded like, oh, wow, like that's just outside of my comfort zone. You know, I'm going to encourage you to to push yourself just a little bit outside of your comfort zone. And, you know, maybe take one or two of the things that we mentioned today and see what you can really do, because, you know, growth is always in that discomfort zone. So make yourself a little bit uncomfortable and push yourself to new heights, and you'll see new results too.
Love it. If you're looking for some more guidance or of a community of like-minded fasting individuals, you can check us out on Facebook, the Fasting for Life community. It's a free Facebook group. And then also you can go to our website, www.thefastingforlife.com, thefastingforlife.com. You can sign up for our newsletter, download the Fast Start Guide, which will give you 6 simple steps in how to put fasting into your day-to-day life. Tommy, as always, great conversation, sir. Thank you so much. And we'll talk soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for listening to today's episode. Don't forget to head over to register for the next 10-day live fasting challenge. Registration is now open. It can be found at www.thefastingforlife.com/live. That is www.thefastingforlife.com/live. For dates and more information, you can find the link in today's show notes, and we will see you on the inside.
So, you've heard today's episode, and you may be wondering, where do I start? Head on over to thefastingforlife.com and sign up for our newsletter, where you'll receive fasting tips and strategies to maximize results and fit fasting into your day-to-day life.
While you're there, download your free Fast Start Guide to get started today. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Fasting for Life.